So our Tuesday night shiur has been focusing on topics relating to the Daf Yomi ever since we started Brachos, I think. So it's been going for a couple of years. And I got a lot of feedback when the topic for tonight's shiur went out. A bunch of emails came back, you know, about how I'm talking about such a controversial topic. I didn't pick this topic because it's a controversial topic. I picked this topic because it came up in the Daf Yomi recently. We're going to talk about the role of the Beis Din at the tevila of a giyores, at the tevila of a female convert. That's a sugya in Maseches Yevamos. It's actually three different sugyas in Maseches Yevamos. So people were saying, you know, that this, I'm probably talking about this because it's some conservative rabbi wrote a tshuva about it recently or something in English. I don't know who wrote what, and, you know, certainly not responding to a conservative rabbi's tshuva in English. That's not my business. Nor did I do a ton of research on this. I'm just learning through the sugya the same way I would any other Tuesday night shiur. So let's just put that out there. Just learning through the sugya of Maseches Yevamos about what the, now, in terms of halacha lemaisa and gerus, of what sort of policies should be implemented in terms of tevila of a giyores, and how, what the best halacha course of action is, that's so far above my level of, you know, of decision making within the Jewish people, that's not at all what we're going to be discussing, that what we're going to be doing. We're just going to discuss the sugya and see what the poskim have to say. So there are, in fact, three gemaras in Maseches Yevamos that are relevant to this sugya. For some reason, in the Mar Makomos, I forgot to include one of them. So we have, the first two sources are two of the relevant gemaras. Let's actually do the gemaras in order that they appear in Maseches Yevamos. So let's start with source number two. Gemara Maseches Yevamos Daf Mem Hei Amud Beis. Says the Gemara, Avdei de Rabbi Chiya Bar Ami, At Balalahi Avadis Kochavim L'Shem Insa. The Eved of Rabbi Chiya Bar Ami was Matbil, and Avadis Kochavim was for the sake of Tvilas Nida, not for the sake of Gerus. Took a non-Jewish woman and was Matbil her for the sake of Tvilas Nida, apparently not realizing that there's no issue of Tvilas Nida for an Ovedes Chachamim, for someone who's not Jewish. It was Matbil l'shem Nida. Amar Rav Yosef, Yachilna la'achshurei, Rav Yosef says, I could be machshir ba, that woman, that she should have a din of a Yisrael k'sheira, that she could have a din of a Jewish woman, even though she was never Tovelis l'shem Gerus. Now keep in mind, the Gerus process for a man is a fairly straightforward three-step process. You have Mila, Tvila, Kabbalas Mitzvos. Those are the three elements of Gerus. Now, a woman, you don't have Mila. All you have is Tevila and Kabbalas Mitzvos. So essentially, the only physical action that is done in the Gerus of a woman is Tevila. That's it. There's no Mila, obviously. Kabbalas Mitzvos is not a physical action. It's a commitment. It's a verbal or intellectual commitment, but an emotional commitment also, but it's not a physical action. The only physical action that's done for a woman's gerus, at least bizman hazeh, bizman beis hamikdash, there was a karban involved also. In fact, the Rishonim are bothered, how could we have gerim bizman hazeh? We don't have a karban. How could you do gerus without a karban? That's an issue. But nowadays, we are able to do gerus without a karban. So that's the only thing that's necessary. So here's a woman. Her tevila was not even done l'shem gerus. And Rav Yosef comes along and says, I can be machshir this woman as a ksheira. The Gemara is going to say on Memvav and Beis that a person needs mila and tevila, but then this woman was only tovel for her nidus, not for gerus. Nevertheless, she's going to be kasher. Not only her, uvevarta, her daughter also. I can be machshir her daughter, that the daughter is going to be kasher like any other bas Yisrael, even though she's a bas eved haba al bas Yisrael, meaning the eved was matbil the woman so that he could sleep with the woman and then produce this daughter, produce this young lady. So that daughter is going to be a regular bas Yisrael because her mother has a din of a bas Yisrael. Her mother is Jewish. Ba, how could I be machshir her? Kid Ravasi, like Ravasi tells us. Tam Ravasi, Milo Tavlo Lenidusa, because Ravasi said, if you have a person who, the Ravasi tells us that there was a person that they used to call a Barar Miyasa. They used to say he's a son of a non-Jewish woman, a woman who was never Tovel L'Shem Gerus. And Ravasi said, how could you say she's not Jewish? Don't you think she ever went to the mikveh at least for nidus, for nidus purposes? And if she went to the mikveh for nidah purposes, so she was tavelas, and that works. That counts as a geirus. Tavelas nidah works for a geirus. And bebarta, because over chavim veverabal b'ashal avlad kasher, and the daughter is going to be kasher because once the mother's kasher, if an eved sleeps the bas Yisrael, the daughter is going to be a kasher Jew. So that is Gemara number one, where the Gemara, and the Gemara actually continues. The Gemara tells us the Ahu Davu Karule Bar Armiyasa tells us the story that this is all based on. There was a guy that they used to call a Ben Aramis, the son of an Arami woman, because his mother was never Tavelas L'Shem Gerus. Amravasi Milnol Tavla L'Nidusa. Wait a second. She was Tavel for Nidus, and since she was Vaday Tavelas, that Tavila works for Gerus as well. Bar Arma'a. There was a person that they used to call the son of an Arami. I'm Reb Shem Levi, Milo Tavalakirio. Reb Shem Levi said, no, the father also must have gone to the mikveh for because he became a Balkari at some point, so I'm sure he went to the mikveh. That Tavila also counts for Gerus. So Gemara number one, which is source number two in this packet, seems to tell us that the Tavila for a Giores can work even if it's not even L'shem Gerus. Even if she just goes to the mikveh. She just happens to land in a mikveh, and that works. Now, since the topic of our shiur is going to be the role of a Beis Din at the Tevila V'Giores, if you have just this Gemara, do you need Beis Din at Tevila V'Giores? What would you say from just this Gemara? No. Clearly not, because we don't even know if she ever had a Tevila. I mean, all we're saying is, yeah, Ms. Tama, she once went to a mikveh. No Aiden that she went to a mikveh, no Beis Din that was there. The stomach she once went to a mikveh, so that's good enough. She must be Jewish. So let's assume she's saying now I'm a Kabbalah mitzvahs. So we have that Kabbalah mitzvahs. She's observing mitzvahs.
Is there a connect? How does it work in real life, the connection?
We'll see that in the next Gemara, just in one second. So, yeah?
In the story of the Bar Amiyasa, why would the Gemara assume that a non-Jewish woman would go to the mikveh for Nida?
Yeah, the whole thing, and the non-Jewish man goes for Balkari. I don't know. It's a good question. But the assumption is, that's the way Rashi understands the Gemara. And several Rishonim understand the Gemara. There is another explanation in the Gemara that does not make that that same assumption, that a non-Jewish person would do it, which we'll see soon. But that's the...
Maybe stop the Shekhavim and work? Or is that...
What would that help in terms of what?
Maybe they didn't go when he does the work and they had the Shekhavim.
No, for Gerus, he would definitely need a mikveh that's totally kosher. You would definitely need a kosher mikveh. Now, so that's one Gemara. Next Gemara is one that I forgot to put in the Mar Makomos, but it's probably the most important Gemara. It's on Mem Vav Amud Beis. In Masech Sivamus, again, same Masechta, and the Gemara tells us the following. Yeah?
These two Gemaras still assume that the Tevila needs to be the Shem, the Daisa, or for Valkari, meaning
as opposed to just swimming in the ocean or something like that.
It has to have a reason behind it. Meaning, if you're going to be Tevila for a mitzvah, maybe that's some sort of level of Kabbalah's mitzvah.
Oh, okay, good. Meaning if she just fell into an ocean once, we're not going to say, oh, she was Tavel, because, right, it would have to be with some sort of meaning to it. Okay, good. Very, very, very good. Now, it could be, by Nida, if a woman is actually Nida and she just falls into the ocean, she's Tahora. If she goes into the ocean, she's Tahora. That's Rav Moshe's famous tshuva. Rav Moshe has a tshuva about a guy who was dating a balas tshuva. And he said, she's such a balas midos, and she's wonderful, and she's everything I'm looking for. But there is an Indian that there's a pagam in a child who's a bas nida, or a ben nida. Someone who's a product of a mother who didn't keep taras hamashpacha, that there's some sort of pagam. So the guy's shayla was, do I assume that she has this pagam, but she's such an incredible person, she's been able to overcome it, but it might still come out in our children, and therefore I should be choshish for something? Or do I assume something else, and that everything is okay? But Maisha said, if you see that she's really such a balas midos, and she's so wonderful, and she's such a bas Torah, Miss Tama, her mother wasn't in either when she was conceived. Probably she went to the beach that week, and she went in the ocean, and that counted as her tefilas nida. It's a wild tshuva from Maisha. Aisha was wearing a bathing suit. Miss Tama, the water got through, whatever, it wasn't a real chatzitza. So Rav Moshe writes in the tshuva. So that's Gemara number one. Gemara number two is the Gemara in Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, one daf later. The Gemara tells us, Amar Rabba, this is not in your packets, but I'll just read it to you. Uv Zahavda, there was a story, Be Rabbi Chia Bar Rabbi, Rav Yosef, Masni, Rav Oshia Bar Rabbi. by three Gedolei Amoraim, Rav Chiya bar Rebbi, Rav Yosef Masni, Rav Oshia bar Rebbi, Rav Safra Masni, Rav Safra taught Rav Oshia bar Rebbi Chiya, that it was Rav Yosef bar Rebbi Chiya, a fourth rabbi was there with them as well. Dasal kame ger shemal v'lo taval, that they had a situation of a ger that had a mila but didn't have a tevila. Amarlei shayi kana l'machar v'nat belinei. So he said, wait here till tomorrow and I'll go be matbel you. Says the Gemara, Shema mina tlas. We see from this story three things. First thing, Shema mina ger tzarich shlosha. First thing is that in order for geris to happen, you need three people. You need three judges. Ger is tzarich shlosha. So the Gemara goes on to say that the reason a ger is tzarich shlosha is because Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ger tzarich shlosha, mishpat ksiv bei. Because in the context of Geirus, it says Mishpat. Mishpat is a judgment. A judgment is done with Beis Din. A Beis Din is three people. You need three people. You need a Beis Din for Geirus. So far we have one Gemara that says, all right, the Tevila must have happened at some point when no one was looking. That's good enough. And that implies that you don't need a Beis Din at all. And now we have a Gemara that says that for Geirus, you need a Beis Din. And what does Geirus consist of already? It's Mila, Tevila, Kabbalah, Mitzvos. A woman doesn't have Mila. It's Tevila, Kabbalah, Mitzvos. So where do you need the Beis Din if you don't need the Beis Din at the Tevila? It sounds like you need the Beis Din at a Tevila. And then we have a third Gemara. Third Gemara is source number one in the packet. And it describes the actual Tevila, the actual process of Geirus. And this is one daf later. So it's three Gemaras and three consecutive dafim. Mem Heim and Beis, Mem Vav and Beis, Mem Zayinim and Beis. So the Gemara and daf Mem Zayinim and Beis tells us, Ger comes, says, a guy comes, says, I want to convert. So we start telling him, probably not a good idea, you know, it's not so easy to be a Jew. We're always supposed to tell our children it's geschmack to be a Jew, and it's wonderful to be a Jew. But when a ger comes to convert, we say, it's not so easy, you know, there's a lot of anti-Semitism. You know, we start to discourage him a little bit. We tell him it's, you know, up until now, if you are Mechal Shabbos, you're fine and everything. Now, if you decide to become a Jew, if you're Mechal Shabbos, you're Chayiv Misa, there are a lot of responsibilities, there's Tayag Mitzvos, fine. Then we describe what actually happens. Once he passes all those tests, and he's determined, and he wants to be a Jew anyway, so we go through the actual Geirus process. Says the Gemara, U'shnei Talmidei Chacham Omdim Al Gadlav. You have two Talmidei Chacham that stand by him, U'modin Osam Miktsas Mitzvos Kalos, U'miktsas Mitzvos Chamuros. And they give him a sampling of Mitzvos, easy ones, hard ones. Tovel the Allah, he goes to the mikveh, he comes out. Hareu ki Yisrael l'chol devarav. He's had it, this is after Mila. The Gemara says, first you give him the Mila, wait till the Mila gets better, till he has a refuah, so he's able to go into a mikveh, because while it's still bandaged up, whenever he's not going to be able to go into a mikveh, so wait till it heals. Then he goes into the mikveh, we tell him about the mitzvos, he's mekabel the mitzvos, dunks, comes out, and he's a Jew. That's how it works for a man. What about an Isha? Says the Gemara, Isha, women put her into the water up until her neck. And two Talmidei Chacham stand outside of the mikveh area. Right? Outside of the mikveh area, not in the mikveh, or not in the room of the mikveh. And from outside, they announced her over an intercom, or screaming into the room, so about some of the mitzvos, a sampling of the mitzvos. Echad ger ve'echad ha'meshuchar, etc. And that's it. And she goes to the mikveh, and that's it. Doesn't tell us anything further. Now, what's missing from that Gemara?
The Beis Din is not there.
It doesn't sound like the Beis Din is there for the tevila.
Whoever is there is even part of it. It's outside.
Right. First of all, it's only Shnei Talmidei Chacham, which is strange in the first place, because it should be Beis Din, right? It should be three. And they're not there. They're outside. And it doesn't say anything about them being there for the tevila. It just says women go inside with her, put her up to her neck. Once she's up to her neck, they scream to her from the outside. There's Shabbos, there's Kashrus, there's Sukkah, there's whatever. They scream a few mitzvahs at her. And she says, good, I'm fine with it. She dunks, and that's it. That's what it sounds like from the Gemara. So we have a Gemara in the Memhei that sounds like you don't need anything, that you don't need any sort of basin whatsoever. No one has to see the tevila, no one has to, it's just a mistama, she went once for a needles. We have a Gemara Daf Mem Vav that says you need a Beis Din for Geirus. Beis Din needs to be there for Geirus. And then we have a Gemara Daf Mem Zayin that says, or that doesn't give that much detail, but seems to imply that the Beis Din is not actually there for the tevila. They're outside. They're not, it doesn't sound like they're in the room. So Tosfos Masechet Yevamos raises the question, Milo Tavlu Medusa. Tos asks the stira between Daf Memhei and Memvav. Tos in source number 3. Tema, Da Amr Lekama, De Geret Sarek Shlosha, De Mishmuk Sivvei. How can we say about a woman, oh yeah, don't worry, she probably went to the mikvah because she probably went for her needless anyway. Whatever happened to Mishpat? You need a Beis Din. And even if you say you don't need a Beis Din of 3, and that one guy can be a Beis Din if he's one Yachin Mubucha, is as good as a Beis Din, is as good as 3 people, but still, what woman brings a man into the room when she goes to the mikvah? That never happens, says Tosfos. And you can't say that she brings a woman in and the woman is a Beis Din, because the woman can't be a Beis Din. Only people who are kosher to be Eidim could be kosher to be Dayanim. A woman's not a kosher Eid, a woman's not a kosher Dayan. Ubed Yisub Yishami Diyuma Me'ata She'in Yisham Ida Ein Adana Udvara Lo Yisadana L'Mala Medes Lahen Shiyadonu. Aye, what about Devora? Devora was a judge. She was a famous judge of the Jewish people. No, she wasn't, Tosa says. That's a big misconception, Tosa says. She taught... she was a law professor. She was not a judge. She taught people about how to judge, but she herself was not a judge. Inami alpia dibur shayni, or she was an exception to the rule. It was a special hara shah. Kadosh Baruch was determined that she should be a judge for her generation. But generally speaking, you cannot have a female dayan. So you're not going to have a female Beis Din. And you need a Beis Din in the mikvah. So Tosfos says, what's going on over here? You need a Beis Din for Gerus. No one's in the mikvah with her. Obviously, she's not bringing a man in there, Tosfos says. So Tosfos answers, two answers. Number one, he says, V'yesh lomar, haidvin on shlosha hainu l'kabalas ha-mitzvos ha-velod l'tvila. We only said you need a Beis Din for Gerus. There are 3 steps of Gerus. There's Mila, Tvila, Kabbalas, Mitzvos. Woman doesn't have Mila, she only has 2 steps, Tvila, Kabbalas, Mitzvos. We never said which parts of Gerus you need a Beis Din for. Maybe you only need the Beis Din for Kabbalas, Mitzvos. You don't need a Beis Din for the Tvila. So the tefillah could have happened wherever it happened. Now you have a Beis Din for Kabbalas Mitzvos, and that's all you need.
Where do we have Kabbalas Mitzvos in the story anymore?
And Daf Memhei, you have to assume that the whole basis of the story is the person wanted to be Jewish. And if they wanted to be Jewish, they must have been committing to a lifestyle of mitzvahs. So if that's the basis, okay, so good. So you had...
At the end of the Gemara, this is the Bar Aramaisa and the Bar Arama. How can you see a basis in that those people wanted to be Jewish?
No, the point is they were living lives as Jews, and everyone was mocking this guy, saying, you're a Bar Arma, you're not a Jew. So comes along Rav Kahana, or whoever it was, and says, no, he is a Jew, because his mother went to the mikvah. So the fact that she observed the Jewish lifestyle, right, that's good enough, because she did go to the mikvah. She must have gone to the mikvah. That's I think, the assumption is that there's Kabbalas Mitzvos. So that's one answer to Tosos. Tosos says, "Avogav darmin lekama and the shnei talmidei chamonim v'chutz haynu lechatchila da'adiv tefei." And even the presence of talmidei chamonim outside when she goes to the mikvah, even that's not necessary. It's only lechatchila to have them in the vicinity, but they certainly don't have to be in the room. That's Tosos. Then Tosos says another answer. V'yesh mefarshim, and others say, "Dekevan diyadua lakol shetavla ki ilu omdim sham dami." That since they know she dips in the mikvah, that's the same as them being there. Meaning the halacha of a Beis Din is not that a Beis Din has to see the Gerus. The Beis Din has to know that all steps of the Gerus occurred. And if they are standing outside and they hear dunk, they hear a splash, that's good enough. They know what happened. How do they know it happened? There's a very trustworthy woman inside with her that maybe told them that it happened. They know. They just know that it happened. And that's all you need. This answer, Tosfos, by the way, forms the backbone. This, together with the Gemara Makos Daf Zayin, forms the backbone of Rav Moshe's Shita about Chol of Yisrael. That Rav Moshe has this unbelievable concept that he proves from here and from Gemara Makos that people misquote Rav Moshe all the time. They say, Rav Moshe holds you don't need Chol of Yisrael. It's a Mishnah that you need Chol of Yisrael. There's no. Rav Moshe didn't reject any Mishnayos. Of course you need Chol of Yisrael. Rav Moshe held that Chol of HaKompanies is Chol of Yisrael. Because what's Chol of Yisrael? So traditionally, people always assume Chol of Yisrael means that a Jew sees the actual milking of the animal, sees the milking of the cow, and therefore can verify with their own eyes that it's purely cow milk and not milk of any behemoth tamei. Rav Moshe says, no, the halacha is not that a Jew has to see the milking of a cow. The halacha is that a Jew has to know that the milk came from a cow. But doesn't have to see it. You just need edus yediyah. not Eidos Re'iya. You just need to know that it happened. You don't have to see that it happened. Where do you ever have that? You only need to know that. You don't have to actually see. How do we know? How do we know the milk came from a cow? He said, thank God, the American government has this branch called the FDA, which is an organization called the FDA that oversees the farms and makes sure that if something is sold as cow milk, that it's cow milk. And if it's ever mislabeled, that farm will be fined heavily and will likely be shut down, and we'll say, you know, so it's that gives us enough of a idea that we know that it's definitely cow milk. In the very next tshuva, someone challenged Rav Moshe on that and said, no, we looked into it, the fines aren't so heavy and they're not going to be shut down, you know, it's going to be a couple of $100 or whatever. So Rav Moshe said, yeah, still they're not going to do it for why would they risk it for a couple $100? So it still counts as Eidos Yediyah. So that's Rav Moshe held that where do we ever find that you only need to know something, you don't need to see it? Here in Taisus Maseches Yevamos, that the Beis Din doesn't have to see the Tevila, they just have to know that the Tevila happened. And also in Maseches Makos, the Gemara Makos says that how do you ever have Edim to testify that an Ashes Ish slept with another man, let's say? Where do you ever have Edus? How can you possibly know that for sure? You might see two people who look like they're having bia, but you're not going to actually see the penetration. You're not going to see such close up with the bia itself. So the Gemara says, yeah, kederach hamenafim. When you see what it looks like, it then it's probably it. Then that's called that you know. Eish bin Ores, if you have such the passions are there and the Yetzer Hara is there and the two people are in such close proximity, and of course it happened. Of course they had a bia. You have the right to assume that, even though you don't see it directly. That's Rav Moshe Shita with Chol Yisrael. So this Tosfos, if we just had Tosfos, when Tosfos puts all the Gemaras together, do you need a Beis Din for Geirus? Of course, it's a Beferish Gemara, you need a Beis Din for Geirus. But you don't need a Beis Din either. You don't need a Beis Din for all the steps of Geirus. Or you need a Beis Din for all the steps of Geirus, but all you need the Beis Din to do is to know. You don't need the Beis Din to see. That's Tosfos. If we just had Tosfos, so all the sensitive issues of how should we take care of a Tevila of the Gioris would not be sensitive at all. It would be very, very easy. You just send a woman in there with her, and you know, just like a mikveh lady was always in there when women go to the mikveh, the mikveh lady will verify that she went into the mikveh, and will tell the Beis Din that's what happened, and that's all the Beis Din has to know about. And that would be fine. The difficulty comes with the Rambam. The Rambam in the 14th paragraph of Hilchos Yisuri B'Alachavav, source number 4, the Rambam writes, "Ushlosha omdin al gabav." You need three people there by the gerus. Umodino so mitzvos mitzvos kalos mitzvos mitzvos chamurus, and they have to inform the person about some of the mitzvos. Pam shnia for a second time, because they've already educated the person a little bit. Vu omid b'mayim, and the ger stands in the water. Vim haisa isha, and what if the ger is a woman? Nashim moshivos osabimayim atzavara. You have women put her in the mikvah up until her neck. Vadayamin mibachutz, and the judges stand outside. Umodiin osam mitzvos mitzvos kalos v'chamuros, and they let her know some of the mitzvos kalos v'chamuros. Vihi yoshavis b'mayim, and she sits in the water. Va'acharkach tovelas bifneihem, and then she's tovelas in front of them. Vehin machzirin pneihem v'yotzin, and then they turn around quickly and they leave. Kadesh lo yiru sakishatalam in amayim, so that they don't see her when she comes out of the water. So the Rambam adds something the Gemara never said. But the Beis Din has to see the tevila of the Gioris. How does the Beis Din see the tevila of the Gioris? Send a woman in there first, get her all set up to the neck in the water. Then you call the Beis Din in, and all they see is her head above water. And she goes down into the water. They see that she went down. They immediately turn around before she pops her head out of the water, and they don't even see her come out. And that way, they won't have to see anything that they shouldn't be seeing, and she's tovelas.
So three men.
Three men, yeah.
He calls them Dayanim.
It's got to be Beis Din, right? So that's the Rambam Shita. Question, where did the Rambam get that from? The Gemara, the relevant Gemara that he's paraphrasing is source number one, right? What did source number one say? That Isha Nashim Oshivas Osabimayim Atzavara, women put her up into her neck, Shnei Talmidei Chama Omdu Lami Bachutz, they let her know Mitzvos Mitzvos Kalos Mitzvos Mitzvos Chamuros, and that's it. It didn't tell us anything about them being in the room for the actual tefillah. And furthermore, what's the Rambam going to do with the Gemara Daf Mem Hei? Gemara Daf Mem Hei said, I am Istama, she once went to the mikveh for Nida. Yeah, that's great. Without a Beis Din, it's worthless, according to the Rambam. So what's going to do with that Gemara? So Pashtus, the way most of the Achronim understand the Rambam, is that what the Rambam is telling us over here is, if you understand the Gemara the way Tosfos understood the Gemara, that the women bring her to the mikveh, and the Dayanim aren't even there, the Dayanim don't even need to be there. Even lechachila, it's even to be outside is only a din lechachila. Their presence is totally unnecessary. Why does the Gemara say they put her up into her neck? Just say that a woman brings her to the mikveh, tells her mitzvahs, mitzvahs, kalos, mitzvahs, mitzvahs, chamuros, and she goes into the mikveh. Why does it have to tell us that because she goes up to her neck in the mikveh with a woman there? What's that about? So Ram said, you got to put two and two together. Obviously, they're putting her up into her neck. They're trying to preserve some level of tznius over here. Why are they trying to preserve some level of tznius? Must be because the Beis Din is going to have to come in. So he's just filling in the blanks from the Gemara, from what seems to be obvious from the Gemara, but the Gemara never said it explicitly. What do you do with the Gemara that said that Mistama, she was Tovelis? So Beis Yosef writes, the Pshat in the Rambam is, the Rambam understands that Gemara differently. It wasn't, Mistama, she once went to the mikveh for her nidus, and therefore that counts as her tevila. It's not what the Gemara is saying. What the Gemara is saying is, Milo Tavla Lenidusa means that, how could it be that she didn't have a gerus? Look, she even goes to the mikveh for her nidus. She lives like a Jew. Mistama, she had a kosher gerus once upon a time. Wherever she was, wherever she's from, she must have had a kosher gerus. Because look, she acts like a Jew. She goes to the mikveh for Nida. And this addresses the question, meaning the way Rashi understands the Gemara, that the tevila of Nida counts as tevila of gerus. Why in the world would a goy go do a tevila of Nida? But the Rambam addresses that very nicely. I'm saying, no, a guy wouldn't do a tevila of Nida, and a guy wouldn't do a tevila of Balkari. All he's saying is, look, she's observant. She's keeping all the halachos. Mistama, she had a gerus at some point if she's keeping all the halachos. Of course, it's somewhat curious that that's the way the Gemara would describe an observant person. Normally, when we describe a Torah observant person, what do we call the person? Shomer Shabbos. So the Gemara says, the way the Rambam says, the Gemara says, yeah, she goes to the mikveh for Nida. Who knows about that, that she goes to the mikveh for Nida? Isn't that something that's supposed to be intensely private? That's what we pass in Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam writes in Shulchan Aruch, it's supposed to be mastil lel tevilah. So a woman's not supposed to advertise when she goes to the mikveh. That's supposed to be something that's very private. But nevertheless, the Rambam assumes that's what the Gemara means. That mistava, that if she goes to the mikveh, that just it's just a siman that she must be observant. The Ramban is not at all pleased with this Rambam, but that's how the Rambam understands. Good. So how do we paskin the Shulchan Aruch? Now that we have these two clear opinions, you have Tosfos on the one side, and you have the Rambam on the other side, and obviously Rishonim take sides over here. It's not just Tosfos and the Rambam, but let's keep it simple. So the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Samach Chesiv Beis paskins over here. Shulchan Aruch writes, goes through the whole process. We're not going to read the whole passage, but at the end of source number 7, Nashim Oshivus Osav V'mayim Matzavara V'adayonim Yibachutz. The woman goes into the mikvah up until her neck. The dayanim stand outside. Umodino some mitzvos mitzvos kalos v'chamurus. They let her know some mitzvos kalos v'chamurus. V'hi Yosheves B'mayim V'achar Kach Toveles B'fneihem V'heim Machzirim P'neihem V'yotzim Kedei Shelo Yirvosa K'shetalim Me'amayim. As the Shulchan Aruch often likes to do, he quotes the exact lashon of the Rambam. And he often paskins like the Rambam. Whenever he does paskin like the Rambam, he tries to use the exact lashon that the Rambam uses. So clearly he paskins like the Rambam. So if we and Piskei Tshuva adds, Ayin Tshuvas Parach Mata Aron, Shehelodim Lo Tavlo B'fnei Bezdin Sorach Sheyodiyu Pam Shenis Mitzvos Mitzvos V'Tipol B'fnei Bezdin. If she went to the mikveh without the benefit of a Bezdin there, do it again, says the Piskei Tshuva. She has to do it again with the presence of a Bezdin. So it seems pretty open and shut in halacha, you know, what to paskin over here. It's a fundamental machlokas rishonim, how to make sense of all these sugyas. Shulchan Aruch paskins very clearly, without the Ramah being cholik, without anyone saying anything other than the Piskei Tshuva saying, yeah, we're really serious about this, that you need a Beis Din there. So is there any room to argue anything else? That you don't need a Beis Din there? So it happens to be that this is the type of thing that has come up over the years that it just made people very uneasy, very uncomfortable. That you can have men there when a woman goes to the mikveh? Yeah, they only see the people. I've never served on a basin of Geras, nor do I have any interest in serving on a basin of Geras, but people who have done it tell me that you mamish don't see anything. You go in and you see her head, you see her, you know, the head sticking out of the water, you see her head go down, and then they throw you, you know, you quickly, you know, whoever's running the show throws you out as quickly as possible, and that's it, and that's all you see. But still, it just doesn't sit well with people. That a man's going to be there while a woman is going to the mikveh. That not a man, three men are going to be there while a woman's going to the mikveh. And because of that, the poskim are constantly explaining it or trying to see if there's any room to be mekel and dealing with, you know, to come up with some other eitza and dealing with this issue. Now, it has been pointed out, Rav Avadya Yosef points out in his tshuva. I have most of the long tshuva of Avadya over here. He says fairly sharply, if you look at page 7 in this packet, in the middle paragraph on page 7, in the underlined section, he writes, "Bine afal pishayu kama anoshim modernim, asher heim chachamim be'enehem." Rav Avadya says, even though there are a lot of modern wise men who are wise in their own eyes, that are absolutely opposed to this, and they say that it's not right for Chavrei Beis Din li kanes beveis tvila shel nashim bechlal to be at all in a beis tvila shel nashim b'shas sheyesh isha b'mikvah while there's a woman in the mikvah. And then he writes in parentheses, v'rak l'rofei parutz mutar lo livdok nashim afilu arumos. It's only a doctor who God knows what he does in his personal life. That they're all totally okay with the woman being completely unclothed in front of this doctor who's, you know, keeps nothing and is a total parutz. That they're okay. Why? Because the woman's dying? No, because she has a headache. And it's totally fine, and everyone's fine with that. That they have no problem with. This is the Torah of these modernim, he says. That Tamid Chamu or Tznuim are only going to see from head up. But that makes him so grossly uncomfortable. But a doctor could see her completely undressed, and they're totally fine with that. And that's no problem. Mechitesi, why should that be? You know, where's the sense of, you know, what's tsnua and what's not tsnua? Okay, that's Rav Avadya's little dig that he takes. But this was dealt with by Rav Moshe and by Rav Avadya in different shuvahs. So Rav Moshe in Yardei Chel Pesim Kuf Chav Zayin, bottom page 2, writes to Rav Grossness, Av Beis Din in London, and he says, he starts with Rav Moshe's typical anivus. He says, I don't know why you would ask me for my opinion. You don't need me. You're such a great goan. You're such a wonderful... But you must be such a none of that you even want to know what little Moshe Feinstein wants to say about it. So to make you happy, I'll write you a little tshuva. And he writes him like a 10-page tshuva. I didn't put the whole tshuva here, just the first part of the tshuva. So at the beginning he says, the Beis Din standing in the room next door, Rav Moshe, in the strongest terms, says that is not considered being Tovel Bifnei Beis Din. That doesn't count as being Tovel Bifnei Beis Din. If you look in the underlined section, because it's getting late, so we're going to have to just do the underlined sections. Nechshav, Mikol Makom Nechshav Bifnei Ham Afshalo, meaning the Tayin Grossness wanted a Taina, that it's Nechshav Bifnei Ham Afshalo Ra'u V'Afshalo Yochlu Liros, Kivan Shayu Beis Din Shom. That it's considered that it's in the presence of Beis Din, as long as Beis Din's in the vicinity, even though they don't see anything. And what's his raya? So Dain Grossness's raya is an interesting raya. It's from the Gemara, when it talks about doing chalitza, the Gemara is a pasuk to tell me that you can't have a blind dayan on a chalitza Beis Din, because it has to be le'enei hadayan. Pasuk tells us it has to be in the le'enei hadayan, so you can't have a blind dayan on a chalitza Beis Din, the Gemara says. Implication is that without a pasuk, you can have blind dayanim. That there's no problem with having blind dayanim, which implies that dayanim don't have to see anything. All dayanim have to do is know that something happened. They don't have to see anything happen. So Mela would turn out, says Dayan Grossness, dayanim don't need to actually see the tevila of the woman. They don't need to see her head go under the water, because they could be blind. There'd be nothing wrong with a blind dayan. So Moshe rejects that. He says it's not correct. He says she'emeinu ikuv bechashivas habeis and lo yimatzrichin sheyiru atvila bigyores shebekol ofen ein zederach tznius. He says there's no way that we ever would have allowed a Beis Din to see the tvila of the Gioris if it weren't required. You think Tznius is something that was invented in the 21st century? People used to be much more Tznua than they are now. There's no way that for centuries we would have allowed Dayanin to be in a room when a woman's head goes under the mikveh waters if it weren't absolutely required. So to say that you could just set up blind Dayanim, or Dayanim could close their eyes, or be blindfolded and be there, there's no way. There's no way we ever would have allowed otherwise if that were true. What about the Raya? What about the Raya? So he says, Ubidvar Huchachas Kvotaras Rav Michalitza Shablom Yitu Dekroyim Ksherim Dayanim Sumin. Your Raya from Chalitza that we need a pasuk to tell me that blind Dayanim can't be Dayanim for Chalitza. Lo dami lechalitza. He says you can't compare gerus to chalitza. Didina beza shebachalitza al sidur inyanei achalitza v'sheyasu al pien. What's the role of a beizdin in chalitza? Beizdin is not there to look at what happens and then judge if it was done right. Beizdin's role by chalitza is instructive. They're there to instruct what to do. That's beizdin's role of chalitza. The karulah, the dibroy love. Look in the Chumash; it describes what Beis Din does at chalitza. That they tell the guy do this, and they tell him that. They're instructing by chalitza. So therefore, had we not had a pasuk of le'enei, I would have thought they could even be blind, because you could instruct when you're blind also. But when it comes to gerus, says Rav Moshe, aval begerus shedina Beis Din nemar al etzem hagerus. Bikra de Mishpat, where the din of Beis Din is part of the fundamental din of Gerus, because the pasuk says Mishpat. Ulager shuel asiyas ulager lechenu al advarim shalos nager shiyeh bifneiem shukabal samitzusam milavat vila. That teaches us that the Gerus has to be in front of the Dayanim, and in front of the Dayanim means with Dayanim who see it. V'im lo ra'u ein zeh bifneiem. If they don't see it, then it's not called in front of them. And so I'll tell you something else. Even if you hold that they don't need to see it, if they're not in the room, it can't possibly be called in front of them either. If they're in a different room. If they're in a different room, they're in a different rishus, and it wasn't done in the presence of a Beis Din. So they absolutely have to be there. So Rav Moshe concludes toward the end of the tshuva, V'nim sabuv d'zush ha-Beis Din ha-yub cheder acher v'lo roa t'vila v'ish sham d'v'shas t'vila v'omr v'kol ram sh'yishmu ha-Beis Din sh'b'cheder acher sh'kvar tavla v'akol b'seder. If you have a Beis Din in another room and a woman just there in the room with the t'vila screaming, don't worry, it was all done good. Nimsa shalo haisa Yehudis eino klum l'kulei alma. So it turns out that it's not a good gerus at all. It doesn't work according to anybody, says Rav Moshe. Rav Avadia was dealt with a different issue. Rav Avadia was not always a rabbi in Israel. Rav Avadia took a couple of years where he was a rabbi in Mitzrayim, he was a rabbi in Egypt. And he came to Egypt and he was stunned by some of the things that he saw. The Jewish community was not particularly strong in its religious observance when he got there. And one of the minhagim that they had in Egypt, he says, Maisa b'chol yom po Mitzrayim she'ena dayanim omdim bebeis ha-tvila. That the dayanim didn't stand there in the beis ha-tvila. Elahim omdim michutz lebeis ha-tvila b'cheder ha-samuch u'misham modiyim la mitzvos mitzvos kalos v'chamuros v'tovel sachos b'fnei yishi Yisraelis. Now, if we know anything that the dayanim would stand outside, she'd be tovel inside. That was the minhag of Mitzrayim, Rav Avadia says. Now, if you know anything about Rav Avadia, he spent his whole life fighting that all Sfardim should always be loyal 100% to Maran Beit Yosef, that everything should follow the Pesachim of Maran, that you should never go against what it says in Shulchan Aruch. A lot of times, different Sfardim had different traditions. Sometimes they would follow Minhagim that sometimes went against Maran Beit Yosef, the Ben Ish Chai went against Maran. Sometimes they would follow the Ben Ish Chai. Rav Avadia respected the Ben Ish Chai a great deal. But he held that, no, Maran Beit Yosef is lo mishpat ha-bechora. He's the one that gets to determine all of Sfaradic Pesach. So he writes that he was stunned by this. Maran Beit Yosef paskins beferish that you need three dayanim to be there in the Beis HaTevila. And there's a minhag of an entire community where they had people not in the Beis HaTevila. So Rav Avadia deals with this and he goes through all the, again, the whole sugya the way we went through it, obviously in much greater detail. And he finds a few tshuvas where there were exceptions made, where there were cases where people were going to be arrested if they would go near the Beis HaTevila by governments that had some sort of rules against it. or things like that. It was a base hamerchatz shel goyim. That's where the mikveh was located. As so, in the Mishpatei Uziel, he was makel that he could have the basin stand outside. In that case, Rav Avadya says that notwithstanding, and again we pointed out before his comment about where people focus on tznius and where they don't focus on tznius. Sometimes the people who scream the loudest, ironically, about these things are the people whose general levels of tznius are not on the highest caliber. But Rav Avadya says there's nothing to talk about over here. Obviously, we follow the psak of Maran Beit Yosef that you need the basin to be there. He says, I do have an idea, though. You shouldn't just put her in the water. If it's clear water and you can see right through the water, that's not good either. He says you could make a garment where she just sticks her head out of the garment and the garment covers the rest of the water. So you won't see anything other than her head, even if you're peeking into the mikvah. The whole clothing would be around her neck, so you wouldn't see anything else. So he says, that I think is a good idea. That I think we should do. And he goes through a whole sugya in Mesachus Beitza about Anisha being Tovelis Bibukadeha, and you could do that without any problems of a Chatzitza. Okay, halacha v'lo l'maisa.